to have held the baby. We welcome little Caleb Corbin here, and here's the vital statistics for you ladies. I say Corbin Cornette. Here's the vital statistics. Born last Wednesday, 3 o'clock, did I get that right? 2:59, I'm sorry. Okay. 2:59 last Wednesday. 7 pounds, 15 ounces, 20 and a half inches long. We welcome the third of our new babies. And everybody's doing healthy. Why? Everybody's doing well? Okay. How's Monique doing? Is she resting? Alright, okay. Great news. Great news. Okay. So we got our three babies here, and isn't life grand? Isn't it wonderful to have new babies? Alright, great. If you want to help out with cradle roll, see Christina Pond. She's going to be taking care of that for us, and also the nursery. So she needs lots of help with that, so we need volunteers to help her. We're talking about crazy love, God's crazy love for us, His crazy, relentless love that He has, okay? That the fact that God is crazy about you, how does that make you feel? Okay? The thing that our God is crazy about us, crazy in love with us. And what we're really focusing on is getting to know God in relationship. God doesn't want us just to say, oh yeah, I believe in God. God wants us to love Him, okay? And He wants us to love each other, His creation. And so that's what we're really focusing on in this study on crazy love. We were talking about it and trying to understand this God who has this crazy love for us. Who is He? What kind of a God is it that has this crazy love for you and I? You see? And so we were looking at the attributes of God. You know, what's He like? Okay? What is His characteristics? What is this God that we pray to all the time and we ask to help us in our lives and to bless our lives? What is He really all about? And you see, the biggest question that I hope we can answer for ourselves in all of this is, why does this God deserve? Okay? Why does He deserve our love and our obedience, you see, and our worship? Why does He deserve for us to come together like this and worship Him? Well, I think the real simple answer to that is because He's crazy in love with us, as I said a moment ago. See, and He wants us to return that love to Him. As we continue with this, let me ask you, how many of you got your death notice this morning? Anybody? Did you get yours yet? You're sitting there looking at me stunned. What are you talking about? A death notice. In other words, did you get your notice that says the day and the time and the manner in which you're going to die? Anybody get yours? Okay? Whoa! We are way, way too far ahead. What happened there, Derek? Okay, here we go. Did anybody get yours yet? That gives you that information? I don't see any hands up. Okay, how about your life guarantee? Did you wake up? Anybody wake up this morning and you had a note on your pillow that said that you were not going to die today? Anybody get that? Derek, I'm having a problem with this thing here. We might need you to advance that for us. Anybody get that? You're guaranteed that you're going to live through this entire day. Nobody got one of those either. Okay. Well, you see, I don't know what's happening here. You see, here's the idea behind this is that we usually don't think much about dying, you see, today, on any given day, do we? How many of you got up this morning and think, you know, I could possibly die today? Anybody? Did anybody think that? You see, the reality is there is no guarantee that that's going to happen. Okay? But here's, I think, one of the worst things is that on any given day, on any average day, we don't really think a whole lot about God either. Okay? In other words, I think probably most of us, if we're really honest about it, we got up this morning and we might have, you know, subconsciously at least thought, today is just another day. It's no different than yesterday, and tomorrow will probably be more of the same, right? That's typically how we think, and we don't give God a whole lot of thought other than, oh yeah, today's Sunday, first day of the week, what do we need to do? We need to go worship God. So we probably thought more about God today than any other day during the week, but on average, we typically don't give Him a whole lot of thought. Not as much as we do a lot of other things. You see, we think about all the other things that we've got going on in our day, don't we? You see? And if you were to keep a journal, and perhaps some of you are, it's these are the events of my day, and this is all about me, you see, and my life. Well, one of the passages that I think we need to think more about, that we don't think, I don't think enough about, the passage that Tyron read for us, James chapter 4. We've got to come to terms with the reality that says, what is your life? It's just a mist. It's a vapor. In the big scheme of things, it is here today and it's gone tomorrow. And we need to think more about that rather than just thinking that today is just another day. Is today really another day where we can do whatever it is that we want to do? Is that really what today is? And I suggest to you, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's something much more than that. Francis Chan uses this really, what I think is a great analogy, and to help us to get a proper perspective on this, and I'm going to try to share it with you as best that I can. And so I want you to think about a movie, okay? Think of that, there's a movie that is being made, and you have been cast as an extra in this movie. Okay? Now, the reality is there's lots of opportunities to do that around here because they're making a lot of movies around here, aren't they? So, I don't know, some of you may, I don't know if you'd show your hand or not, have you tried out to be an extra in one of these movies, you see? But let's say, there's this movie that's being made, and you have been cast as an extra in this movie, okay? And it's really, you have this minor part, and in actuality, when the whole movie is completed, you're going to have what he refers to as 2/5 of a second of your fame. In other words, that's all that your part is going to consist of in this movie. All right? And the reality is probably nobody else is even going to notice that you're in the movie. And you go around and tell people, hey, you got to come to this movie. You see, I'm in this movie. Okay? And you might, say, well, I get my 15 seconds of fame or whatever, but, your face mounted, it may be the back of your head, and you're the only one that will recognize, well, yeah, that's my head. Okay? But take a little bit further and say, okay, what you do is on opening day, you rent out the whole theater, and you invite all of your friends to come to see this movie. Okay? And you tell them, you got to come and see this movie about me. Yeah. Come see the movie about me. You know what your friends would say? Your friends would go, you're delusional. What in the world makes you think that this movie is about you? You're only in it for 2/5 of a second. And nobody even can recognize that that's really you. So why do you think this movie is about you? Now, we can look at that and we go, yeah, that makes sense, right? But you know what? I think the reality is many of us live our lives like the movie of life is all about us. And that's what we call it. Me. Let's go back and review the movie. Okay, the real movie. And let's take a look so we can get a realistic understanding of what this movie is really all about. Okay? So go back with me all the way to the beginning and let's notice a few things. First of all, as the opening frame begins in this movie, it tells us what? In the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Okay? Now, it further tells us, then God said, let us make man in our image. Let me see a show of hands. How many of us, okay, were there when us and our were stated? How many of us, how many of you were included in the us and the our? I don't see any hands up. Okay, let's go a little bit further. God, you know, got tired. Man rebelled against God, and God said, fine. He wiped out everyone, right, and started all over again. But who was it? It was God who did that. He flooded the earth, and he started over again with Noah and his wife and his sons and his sons' wives. Any of you find yourself in that scene? Okay. Next scene. God again, right, called Abram to leave his home country. Right? And then later on, God changed Abram's name to Abraham and started a whole new nation out of him. How many of you were there when that happened? I want you to stop me when you find your part in the movie here, okay? That's part of what I'm getting at, all right? So just raise your hand when you see your part here, all right? God then did what? He delivered his nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Okay? And then, after that, God again sent numerous prophets, leaders, to lead his people back to him because they had continually fallen away from him, right? Anybody find yourself, any of you have been in that scene at all, any of those scenes? No, not yet. God sent his son to live among us. Okay? And then God allowed his son to die for his creation. And then God gave a promise and a vision of what eternity is going to be like with him. You see, we look at that movie like that, and yet we live as if it's all about us. Okay? It's all about me. That's what life is all about, right? From start to finish, the movie is all about God, okay? And he is the main character in this movie, so to speak, you see? Not you, and not me, but God. He's the one that it's all about. And what you and I need to do is have a reality check, and I'm hoping that's what this will be for us this morning. A reality check to realize that we are not the main character. That's why the Apostle Paul says to us, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. Have I put you to sleep already? Do it all to the glory of God. Thank you. You see? Whereas so often, though we read it that way, in our practice what we say is we do all to the glory of me. And that's not how we're supposed to be living our lives. Because it's not about us. It's about him. You see? It's all about him. You see, the point of our lives is to point to him. All right? That's the point of our lives. God wants to be glorified by us in our lives. Okay? For whatever the time is that we have, which really, I think, is pretty accurate when you measure the whole length of time from creation to whenever it's going to end, it's 2/5 of a second for you and I. But it's all about God, you say. this life, this world, this movie, so to speak, they're all His. They all belong to Him. And it's all about Him. And each and every one of us has a small part in God's life. Let's talk about control here. All right. That's a difficult topic for us, isn't it? We talked a little bit about this last week, this idea of being in control of our lives. We like to have, and for many of us, we need to have control of our lives, don't we? I mean, so much so that, you know, we make sure we have this thing, you know, as soon as we get in the room and sit down in front of the TV, what do? We grab that
remote.
Excuse me, that remote.
Control.
Thank you. Thank you. Say, because as long as we have the control, then we feel good. All right? When things are out of control, we panic. I mean, just let somebody else have the remote control. You know? Yeah, we don't like it when things are not in our control, do we? And we work really, really hard at trying to make sure that whatever's going on in our lives, that we are in control of. Plan. Some of us plan things down to the details and make sure that everything goes exactly the way it's supposed to go. Then we are in control. But let me ask you this question. How in control are you really in your life? I mean, think about it. How much control do you really think you have in your life? Okay? Let's talk about that. All right? The truth is, none of us has very much control at all. We have very, very little control over our lives. Yeah, we got control, you know, depending on how, you know, how much bigger we are than the other person over who gets the remote control, okay? But I'm talking about significant things in our lives. How much control do we really have? You see, life really is, first of all, fragile, okay? It's unstable, and it is really uncertain. Like I said, how many of you got your notice this morning? Either that you were going to die today or that you're not going to die today. Anybody get that? No. Because it's uncertain. None of us has a guarantee that we're going to make it through the rest of this day. Life is that uncertain. Look at it this way. Every time you drive down the highway, you're going down a two-lane road, 45 miles an hour. I mean, how easy is that, right? 45 miles an hour, you're going down the road, you see that little yellow, the broken yellow line that's between the two lanes, you got one car coming at you and you're going the other way. Let me break some news to you you may not realize. That line that's there, it's painted on the road, okay? It's painted on the road. It can't help you if that other car decides to come into your lane. Okay? Because it's painted on the road. And you have no control over what that other driver might do.
Amen.
You say?
That's right.
How's that make you feel about the guarantees?
Yeah,
whether you're going to make it through this day or not. You see, because all of us are here right now, and all of us are going to have to get in a car and go home, aren't we? How much control do you have? None. Your life is a mist. It's a vapor. And it could end today. You see? It could end today. You see, if life were really stable, and we could count on things, and it was very certain and so forth, then what would we need God for? And yet the world tells us this right here. Take control of your life. Because your happiness depends on you. That's the message the world wants us to have. And the reality is, we really don't have control over that. But we can do things in our lives from day to day that kind of make us happy. But we can't really control those things. And that's why so often our happiness rides on a roller coaster ride. One day we're happy, the next day we're sad. Why? Because the things that make me happy today, I won't have them. I won't have them tomorrow. So I need something else tomorrow to make me happy. Because life is so uncertain and unstable and fragile. You see. We don't have that much control. We don't have the control that we like to think that we really do. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, tells us, Paul is expressing his realization that he doesn't have control. Look at what he has to say. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my what? My weaknesses. You say? I'll boast more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, the important part here is for us to know and to understand that we have got to rely on God in our lives. That it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about God being in control of me in my life. Only when we do that, only when we acknowledge how weak we really are without Him, will we let God have control of our lives. Otherwise, we go on living day to day as if it's all about me. And as long as we are living with that kind of an attitude and approach to life, then our relationship with God is not going to be what He wants it to be. Ultimately, what we have to do is we've got to be ready. Because here He comes. He's coming. You see? One day He is coming. There's a story about a preacher who was in this small town, and whenever he was doing a funeral for someone, he was well known throughout the town for always having something good to say about the deceased. Doesn't matter who they were. Okay? He always found something good to say about the deceased person. Well, there's this fellow in the town that was the meanest person in the whole town. Nobody liked this guy. He was just mean. And one day he died. And the whole town came to his funeral. Not to honor him because they were sad. They came to the funeral because they wanted to see the first time that the preacher was going to fail at trying to find something nice to say about somebody. Because you see, that's kind of the expectation that we have, isn't it? When somebody dies, you know, everybody expects the nice things to be said about the deceased person. Doesn't matter how they lived. Doesn't matter what they were doing in their life. But we hear all kinds of great things about them. Oh, they were just such a nice person. Right? Well, so the whole town gathers to hear the preacher. Is he going to be able to do it? So the preacher gets up to deliver his eulogy and he says, well, I'm here to talk to you this morning about George. Well, you know, let me tell you about old George. Well, you know old George? Well, you know old George? He sure could whistle well. He had to search. Find something nice to say about George. Because we need something nice to be said about us when we're dead. But you know what? One day your part in God's movie is going to be gone. It's kind of like being written out of the script, okay? You know, you're watching your program, and you got your favorite actor or actress, and next thing you know, they got killed off, okay? They're not in the show anymore, and that's what's going to happen to every single one of us. We're going to get written out of the script, so to speak. Our two-fifths of a second of fame is over with. Alright? Every single one of us, Jesus says, is going to have to stand in judgment. And he goes on to tell us, we need to be ready because we do not know the hour. Okay? He's going to come at an hour when we least expect him to. You see? That's why you didn't get to know this morning, okay? Because he's going to come when you least expect him. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And when he comes and we have to stand in judgment, nice guy is not going to be enough. Okay? All those nice things that we like for the preachers to say about people when they're dying, that's not going to be enough. You see? All of us, Paul says, are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we're going to have to give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Every single one of us. Okay? And it's not going to be sufficient to just say, well, I was a nice guy. Okay? What will matter in the judgment, okay, is the reality of who we are before God. That's what's going to matter. Here's a way to think about it. We talked about this several weeks ago in the previous lesson. But here's a really, I think, a great way to think about it and put it in its proper perspective. Are you living your life with God in it? In other words, is the movie all about you and you've got God written into the script in various parts in your life? And you say, well, I've got God in my life, or in other words, God's in my movie, and I've got a part for him here and a part for him there, you see? And the parts where you really need God, you know, you write him into the script, so to speak, and you let God into that part of your movie. Is that how you are living your life? Whereas what it should be is that you are living God's life with you in it. You see? Where God has a life, he's got his movie, so to speak, as we've been using that analogy, and you have a part in his movie, not the other way around. You see, too many of us live our lives as Christians as if we're the one who's got the movie, and it's all about us, and God's got a part in it. God doesn't want a part in your movie. Okay? He's not interested in that. God has his own movie, and he's got a part for you. And according to James, it's a short part. Okay? When you look at the whole movie, it's a short part. But it's the part that God has specially, listen to me, the part that God has specially written for you in his movie. He didn't write that part for anybody else. He wrote it for you. It's a short part. Okay? But it's a part that nobody else can play in his movie. I don't know about you, but I think that's cool. You see? To know that God loves me enough that he wrote a special part for me in his movie. And I get to live that part out. Now, I don't know what the script says for it all. Say, but God does. Because he wrote the part. You say, and it really is all about him. My life, it's all in his hands. You say, and he's the one who has planned it out the way he wants it to be. Because he wrote the parts. He wrote your part, and he wrote my part. And what he wants us to do is to live out the part that he has given us to play in his movie, in his life. In order for us to do that, we've got to come to this conclusion. It is not about me. First church that I ever worked for, we had been there for about 3 years, and things had gone south. and realized it was time for us to leave. And we were still there when they were bringing in, you know, ministers to try out for the job, to replace me. Well, because of some of the things that had happened, I was upset. I was bitter. I wasn't happy. All right, let's put it that way. And they had this one fellow that came in, and he was trying out. We got the chance to spend some time together with he and his family and all this, because I was there that Sunday when they were trying out. So we got to spend some time with him. And, of course, you know, my time that I spent was griping and complaining about the church and how terribly they had treated us and, you know, all these things that were going on, these people that were bad and so on and so forth. And before he left, Joe, which was his name, he gave me a button. He said, somebody gave me this a long time ago. He said, I think you need it. You know what the button said? Get over yourself. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it said. Get over yourself. And he was right. I needed that button. I needed it. And I did. See? So I realized it's really not about me. Not about me at all. It's about him. And so I don't have enough buttons to give everybody. I wish I did, because I'd give every one of you a button to get over yourself. Because that's what we need to do. We need to get over ourselves. Okay? And what James says is this. I mean, if you just want to kind of summarize the text that was read for us as we began. Make plans. We're going to go to this city, we're going to go to that city, we're going to make money and so on and so forth. What's he trying to tell us? Live your life like you were dying. Why? Because you are. Because you are. You have a part to play in God's movement. Are you playing your part? See? And do you realize that it's his movie about him? It's not your movie about you. If you really want to grow in relationship with God, to be able to really experience the crazy love that God has for you, you need to get over yourself. Okay? And you need to live your life for Him the way He has it planned out for you. Now, we're going to stand in just a moment and we're going to sing a song that Tom's chosen for us as an invitation song. And I hope that the things that I've shared with you this morning maybe has sparked something in you that says, you know what, maybe I'm like that. I need to get over myself. And I need to put myself in God's movie and live my life for Him. And I need to stop trying to live my life for me. If that's where you are this morning, I hope that you'll give that to God this morning and start living in His movie for Him. So that your life will bring glory to Him. There may be somebody here this morning who's not yet given your life to Christ. You need to understand that until you do that, you're lost in your sins. Your sins are separating you from God's crazy love. But you can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can become His child right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of that sin that's separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now. You're not going to wait. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready. It's warm. But we can't do that if you're not ready to make that confession. If you need to, I hope that you are ready. We're ready to serve them. That's ready. I'll be up front here to receive anyone. If you'd like to come up front and talk with me, Dale will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. We just want to serve you, to help you to grow in your relationship with God. That's what this is all about.
Amen.
Let's stand together.